Ready to rock and roll now. All right, let's pray. Dear gracious and heavenly Father, thank you for your presence here this morning. Father, thank you for your gift of your word that gives us light and life. I pray, Lord, that your truth takes root deep in us. Teach us, correct us, transform us, so that we may faithfully walk with you. Holy Spirit, open our hearts and our minds to receive what you have for us this morning. Push me out of the way and speak through me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, well, you know I like series because it helps keep me on track, and you know I need to be helped kept on track. So we're going to start a new series, Spiritual Disciplines, right? I think it's going to be 6 weeks. 6 weeks, right? That helped me really good. But, you know, the first week, as you can see in the video, we're going to talk about being rooted in God's Word. And really, this whole series is really to help us live more godly, more in tune with what God wants for us as we continue to live our life. You know, the Apostle Paul tells Timothy to train yourself in godliness, for while bodily training is some value, godliness is of value in every way. And it's 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. You know, just like athletes have to train their bodies to be able to do well. Now, I know how much Genevieve absolutely despises going to swim practice every day after school. We saw on Saturday that those practices actually do something. They help her do much better when she's in competition, right? So when we practice, we will continue to get better at what we need to do. And likewise, when we continue to read the Word, when we read the Word consistently, we will understand it better. We'll have a deeper meaning, you know the deeper meanings of different things, and it'll be starting to come deeply rooted in our soul. So that's what this whole series is going to be about. And we'll talk about the Word. Next week, we'll talk about prayer. Week 3 is going to be back to church Sunday, so we're going to talk about together and worship. We'll talk about rest for the soul. Week 4, 5 is generosity as worship. And week 6, we'll be serving with love. So that'll be what the next 6 weeks look like. So you can pick and choose which Sunday you're going to be here. Hopefully, you'll be here for all of them. Amen. All right. So, with all that said, who has ever tried to put together like a bookshelf from IKEA? And it seems like when you're reading the instructions, or maybe you're like some people that just look at the pieces and then the hardware, like, I'm good. I don't need to look at the instructions, right? No big deal. I'll figure it out. And then you start putting it together. And then the next thing you know, you got a handful of hardware, and then the bookshelf, instead of being like straight up like this, is like this, but somehow still standing, but it's completely sideways or crooked or whatever. It's because we didn't use the instructions. We didn't follow the instructions in order to be able to put together the bookshelf appropriately. Interestingly, that's the exact same that God's Word does. It gives us those instructions to help us. So as we become more deeply rooted in God's Word, we'll be able to follow the instructions a little bit better. Psalm 119, verse 9, asks the question, how can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping your word. Now it doesn't say by trying harder, or by making a New Year's resolution or whatever. No, it says by keeping your word, by keeping it according to God's word. Right? And that's what we all want to do. And Paul reminds us, and reminds Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, all scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And that's why we're talking about this today. Because it is good for and profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness. So what? So that we can be equipped for every good work, right? This is our instruction manual for life, right? I mean, I think oftentimes we look at it, right, man, that's a pretty cover. Nice and black and brown. It looks nice. It's got gold on there. You look at it on a shelf, but do we actually look at it and let the Holy Spirit just show us what this means? Do we look at the words in red and realize this is Jesus saying something to us? I don't know. We live in a world that feels like walking through a dark forest at night. Psalm 119:105 says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path." Right? So as we're walking through this thing called life, and you know, maybe we feel like we're in this like a dark alley, right? And we just there's no light. We don't have anything. Sometimes it's, you know, maybe there's things that are weighing really, really heavy on us. Psalm 119 says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path." So when we're going through these, pardon me, these struggles, these challenges, and we're just freaking out, and it's like everything is so dark, I can't see anything. Maybe it's because we're not digging into the word. Maybe it's because we're not allowing our light or our path to be lit up because we're not focused on what the word says. The Bible isn't a floodlight that shows you every twist and turn of your future in vivid detail. How many wish that was the case? It's a lamp. It gives you just enough light to take the next step with confidence. Gives you just enough light to give you the next step with confidence. I get it. I mean, I would love for like, you know, 20 or, you know, I don't know what the biggest lumen flashlight is, but I would love for this huge bright light to just light up a path that just went miles and miles and miles and miles so I knew, you know, which way I could go and which way I shouldn't go. But that's not the case, right? But this says, the word says, it will light just enough for our to make a next step with confidence. Now, does anybody remember driving before GPS was a thing? Yeah. I mean, there's really only two people in this building right now who have never probably experienced that, right? And those are the two that are under the age of 16, right? So before GPS, right, we had to, you know, pull out the old trusty map that you can never fold back the right way, right? Or maybe if, you know, the internet was a thing then, you would get on MapQuest. Is that even a thing anymore, right? You know, I think Google Maps was a thing. But you would get on something, or you'd go to AAA, right? Who'd go to AAA and be like, hey, I need a quick trip because I'm going from here to here. Print me out a map, right? They still do that, by the way. But now, we have GPS, right? Like prior to GPS, you would have your map, and you make a wrong turn. You're like, oh man, I got to figure out how to get back to where I need to go to make that correct turn, wherever it is. But GPS does what? Recalculating. You know, it doesn't say, hey, dummy, you missed your turn. Figure it out. No, it just says recalculating. It'll point you back in the direction that you're supposed to go. The Bible is like a GPS. Sometimes we veer off course, make wrong choices, or ignore God's direction, but God's word always brings us back. Always brings us back. It's better than, I'm not going to say it because then my iPad will start freaking out, but it's better than the S-I-R-I thing on here, right? It's better than that. It's better than everything because it points us right back to where he is leading us to go. In our culture of moral I can't even say that word. Where it's the next thing in your bulletin. Revolutionism. I can't say it, man. My mind is all jacked up right now. Where everyone's truth is supposedly valid, God's word provides absolute truth. It is the fixed point by which we can navigate. It's the fixed point by which we can navigate. You know, you'll hear a lot in society, I would say even more so, like kind of in today's culture, of like, just follow your heart. Just follow your heart. Just do this. You know, just do what makes you feel good, right? Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 says, the heart is more deceitful than anything else and incurable. Who can understand it? The heart is more deceitful than anything else and incurable. So when we follow our heart, we're following a bunch of deception, right? But when we're following God, when we're following what he says in his word, it's completely different. And the world says, do whatever makes you happy. Proverbs 14:12 tells us, there's a way that seems right to a person, but its end is the way to death. Follow God. Follow what his word says. And we're not going to be able to follow what he's teaching unless we're digging into the scripture. Right, unless we're actually allowing this to take deep root into our soul. The second point is God's word transforms us. Psalm 119:11 says, I have treasured your word in my heart so that I not, so that I may not sin against you. It doesn't just say that he reads or skims or studies, it says he treasures it in your heart. So when the word has to move from our eyes to our hearts, it moves into our soul, right? We're not just skimming it. We're not just looking for, you know, words in red. We're really, really looking at it, really allowing it to speak to us. You know, the Holy Spirit will illuminate what the scripture says and just really allow it to take hold in our hearts. You know, full transparency, I was supposed to have plants up here. We got back from the swim meet late, so I couldn't go to Menards to buy them. So this illustration is going to look stupid. But you know the small plants that you get, right? The really tiny ones that you just pick up, right? Because the roots aren't very, very deep, right? I was going to have one and pull it out. Ooh, look how easy that is, right? But then you have another one that's in like a big pot. And you try to pull that out, and it takes some level of force. Right? Why is that? It's because its roots are deep. They're deeply rooted into the soil. Deeply rooted. And that's what we want with God's word in our life. We want it to be deeply rooted in the soil, in our hearts. You know, we talked about this one already, I think, 2 Timothy chapter 3. All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, rebuking, correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. We did. We started with that. That's what it's for, right? It's for our lives, right? If we don't have the word, if we're not following what the word is saying, we're hosed. We're hosed, right? It is so profitable for every single aspect of our life. Every aspect. God's word is not just information, it's transformation. It teaches us what's true, it rebukes us when we're wrong, it corrects us when we're off track, and it trains us and righteousness. And I talked about, you know, somebody maybe goes to the gym, right? They're not just going to go to the gym, lift a weight, put it down, and then say, man, look how transformed I am, right? And just you just walk around like this, like I just lifted a dumbbell, right? And they walk around like they're... No, transformation happens over time. Happens over time. Growth takes repeated effort, daily discipline, and over time, the change becomes visible. The same is true when we are reading the Word. It takes time. Like we can read, like, you know, you can read the Bible in a year, right? And each time that you read it, you're going to have a little bit more transformation. Maybe you'll memorize a verse here and there. But like day one, you know, if you're reading Genesis 1:1, you can't expect on day two that you're going to know the entirety of the Bible. You have to allow it to just work in your lives, but you also have to put in the work and consistently read it. Hebrews chapter 4 says, for the word of God is living and effective, sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating as far as the separation of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. So God's word doesn't just inform us. It's a heart surgeon. Right? It performs surgery on our hearts, cutting away everything that needs to be let go. You know, we were talking in our study on Wednesday, you know, and I don't remember the exact thing, but the first thing I thought of as we were having that discussion was the vine and the branches, right? How God has to prune us so we can grow. And if we don't allow him to prune us, then we're just going to wither away and die. The same is true when we're reading the word. That's God pruning us. That's God doing heart surgery on us. And it's so critical that we are open and allow him to do that in our lives. When we consistently expose ourselves to Scripture, something supernatural happens. The Holy Spirit uses the Word to conform us to the image of Christ. Our desires begin to change, our perspectives shift, and our priorities realign. This isn't just self-improvement, this is divine transformation. That's what the Word does. It transforms us. And just like the Word says, when you accept Christ, you become a new creation. As we continue to read the Word, we continue to be transformed and more like Jesus through everything that we do. And the third point is God's Word equips us. It equips us. And I know most sermons have 3 points. This one has 6, so just bear with me here, right? But God's Word equips us. And Paul says in Scripture that Scripture equips us for every good work. So every single one, right? Not just ones that maybe are pick and chosen, but no, every single good work. No matter what situation you face, no matter which battle you might be going through, it doesn't matter what it is. It is good for everything. Every single thing. Have you ever tried to fix something with the wrong tool? I don't know if buck knives are still like really good knives, but I thought it was. So I used a really nice buck knife. I think my dad got it for me. I used it as a screwdriver. It was my favorite knife. I carried it with me every single place I went, except at airports. Used it as a screwdriver. The tip broke off. I still have the knife with the tip broken off, but when you use the wrong tool, things don't, just like the illustration of, you know, putting up a bookshelf, right? If we don't use the instructions or we use the wrong tools, it's not going to go very well, right? It's not going to go as it's supposed to go. Just like me using a buck knife as a Phillips head screwdriver did not work out very well, right? When we're discouraged, the Psalms will lift us up and remind us of God's faithfulness. When we're tempted, Jesus shows us in Matthew 4 how to fight with Scripture. Three times Satan tempted him, and what did Jesus say in response? It is written. It is written. You know what he's saying? It is written. So when Satan comes after us, you know what, Satan? It is written that you can just buzz off, right? Get out of here in the name of Jesus, right? It is written. When we're anxious, Philippians 4 says, don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. When we feel unworthy or condemned, Romans 8 reminds us there's no condemnation for those that are in Jesus. Difficult relationships, the Bible gives wisdom on forgiveness, conflict resolution, and love. When we're struggling with finances, Scripture provides principles on generosity, contentment, and stewardship. You pick it up when I'm putting down. Everything in our life can be found in here. Everything. Even things that you think maybe, it's kind of a unique situation. It's probably not going to be in the Bible. I promise you it's going to be in there. It might not be called the same thing that you're calling it, but it is going to be in there. Because why? Because everything, it's profitable for everything in our life. Every single thing. Bible isn't just a book of rules. It's God's comprehensive toolbox for living, right? It's his toolbox given to us that we should use every single day. Now, this isn't a rebuke because you're not reading your Bible. This is something, an encouragement, because of how profitable it is. If you are not consistently reading the Word, then I encourage you to start. I promise you, as you continuously do that and as you consistently start reading the Word, things are going to change. You know what that's called? It's called transformation. You will start to become transformed as you read the Word. Fourth point is God's word brings joy. Psalm 119:14 says, I rejoice in the way revealed by your decrees as much as in all riches. So most people think, you know, I don't want to say most people, but a fair amount of people think of the Bible as something that's just boring or tedious or, you know, just some ancient book, right? They don't understand how profitable it is for everything in our lives. But the psalmist says here that he delights in it as much as someone who really just won the lottery, right? Like, man, I cannot get enough of this. Like, this is my jam. I love the word. I love it all. It's possible. It is possible to enjoy reading the word, right? I mean, if anybody has read the word, there's some sections that are a little sketchy, right? Like a little, when we get to like Numbers, right? There's a lot of numbers in there, but there's a lot of good information in there too. So just, we can't overlook the things that are difficult to read or understand. I mean, we have a bunch of different resources. Right Now Media could be one of them. But when there's commentaries, there's online free commentaries. There's an office full of commentaries. Help yourself. Right? If we need help understanding something, there's so much at our disposal. You know, there's people that will binge watch, you know, a series or whatever on, you know, Netflix or whatever for like 8 hours. And there's like nonstop. Like maybe they'll get up to go to the bathroom. Do we do that with the word? Why do we do it for, I mean, I don't do it. I'm way too, like, ADD for something like that. But why are we able to sit there and watch, you know, some television program for, like, 8 hours nonstop, but we have a really difficult time picking this up for 15 minutes? You know what I'm saying? It's so, so difficult sometimes. I don't understand it. Jeremiah 15 says, your words were found and I ate them. Your words became a delight to me and the joy of my heart. Your words were found and I ate them. He didn't just read God's word. He ate them. He consumed them. He nourished his body with this food, this spiritual food that he got from reading the word. When was the last time you savored God's word like that? Like you just took, you know, these beautiful savory bites of the word and you just allowed it to nourish your body, to nourish your excuse me, your spirit. You know, imagine there was a soldier who was, you know, deployed downrange, and every week he would write his fiance, you know, like a love letter. And every time she would get it, she would acknowledge receipt, but she would leave it unopened on the kitchen counter. Say, well, when I have time, I'll read it. You know, imagine if that's something that she did. What does that mean for her? It certainly means for him that I am proclaiming my love. I am showing you how much I love you by writing to you every single week. You know, and I would love to hear what you think or, you know, whatever. And then she just throws it on the counter. Well, what does that say about her commitment and her love for the soldier? Same way God's word is his love letter to us. Every page reveals his heart, his character, his promises, his plan for our lives. Are we leaving it unread on a shelf? Letting it collect dust on our phones? Really, what that says is the condition of our hearts towards him. It means we need to maybe look within ourselves and our relationship with him. The joy that comes from God's word isn't superficial happiness. Right? It's this deep, deep abiding joy that comes from knowing that we're loved. Right? This is God's love letter to us. That's a pretty, I mean, you know how thin these pages are. That's a pretty solid letter of love for us. Fifth point is God's word must be practiced, not just heard. Right? We can talk the talk all day long, but until we start walking the walk, we got work to do. James 1:22 says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. It's easy to know Bible verses without living them. It's like buying a treadmill and never running on it and wondering why you're not in shape. Right? We need to use it. I just can't be up here and say, hey, you know what? One of the spiritual disciplines we're going to talk about in this 6-week series is reading the Bible. And then the end of, like, as I leave today, I don't open this up again. Right? That'd be like just talking the talk, right? But if I sit at home or at work or on my phone or whatever I'm doing, and I'm just digging into the word, reading the word, then I'm walking the walk, right? And we need to walk the walk. Not saying you're not, I'm just saying in general, as Christians, we need to walk the walk, because how are we going to help other people recognize their need for a Savior if we don't have this deeply rooted into us so we can then share why it's so, so, so important? We can deceive ourselves into thinking we're spiritually mature because we know a lot about the Bible. You know, we can quote verses, maybe do Bible trivia or something like that, discuss theology. But if our life isn't being changed, if it's not being transformed, then we're just giving it lip service, right? We're just giving it lip service. Going further to verse 23 of James 1. Because if anyone is hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like someone looking at his own face in a mirror. For he looks at himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of person he was. So if you look at yourself in the mirror, maybe you see toothpaste on your face, or when I look in the mirror, maybe like my beard's like all weird, right? Do I just say, oh, well, rough day, I'll just keep on keeping on and don't try to do anything with it? If we're not using the mirror to fix it, then we're giving a lip service, right? God's word shows us where we need to change, but we have to act on what we see. God's word shows us where we need to change, but we have to act on what we see. If the Bible convicts us about something, maybe it's our unforgiveness, whatever it is, we need to act on it. We need to act on it. The goal isn't just to be known more, know more, it's to be transformed more. Knowledge without application leads to spiritual pride. Right? And of course, once we have pride, then things can just start going way off the deep end. We need to allow this to become deeply rooted into everything that we do. Not just on Sunday mornings, not just on Wednesday evenings. Every single day of every single week, we need to allow the word to be deeply rooted in our life. And of course, the final point is God's word points us to Jesus. Points us to Jesus. The heart of Scripture is not just wisdom for living, but the person of Jesus himself. John 5:39 says, you pore over the Scriptures because you think you have eternal life in them, and yet they testify about me. Again, the Bible isn't just about rules, history, poetry, or even moral principles. It's about Jesus. From Genesis all the way to Revelation, every book points to him in some way. In Genesis, he promised the seed who will crush the serpent's head. In Exodus, he's the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, he's our high priest. In Numbers, he is the bronze serpent lifted up. In Deuteronomy, he is the prophet like Moses. In Joshua, he is the captain of the Lord's army. In Psalms, he is the shepherd, the king, the suffering servant. In the prophets, he is the coming Messiah. In the Gospels, he's God in flesh. In Acts, he's the ascended Lord. In the epistles, he's the head of the church. In Revelations, he's the conquering king. Everything points to Jesus. So when you ask, why is it important that I let the word become deeply rooted into my soul, that is why. Because everything points to Jesus. Every single thing. Bible is not just about what I should do, but who I should trust. And we can trust Jesus. When we read Scripture with Jesus at the center, it transforms how we approach every passage. We're not just looking for moral lessons or life principles. We're looking for Christ. We're looking for Jesus himself. So what can we do? You guys know, but I'm just going to reiterate. We need to read the Bible daily, every single day. Maybe you're not reading the Bible right now, or at least you're not reading it daily. Start small. 5 minutes a day, and allow it to slowly start transforming you and convicting you to maybe bumping it up to 10 minutes a day, 15, 30, 45, an hour, whatever time you are able to give to reading the Word. Second thing is you need to meditate on it. You know, when we read, there are times where I can only read one verse, and I will get caught up on that verse, and I will just, like, dive in and try to figure out what this is saying. So maybe that's what happens, right? You get stuck on this one verse, and then you just start going down a bunch of different rabbit holes to really try to understand what he's trying to teach you. That's okay. That's learning. That's being transformed. I'm not saying you have to sit here and read, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 chapters of a book every single day. If it's a single scripture, single verse, that's okay too. But dig in the word and meditate on it. One thing, and I'll be completely honest, I have a really hard time memorizing really anything. So I have a hard time memorizing scripture, but that's something that we should try to do, because as we memorize scripture, right, God will give us the words to speak. And when we are faced with different things, dealing with people, trying to point them to Jesus, when we are able to, you know, go back to these scriptures and share them with these people, it makes a world of difference. Study it. Study it. You can come on Wednesdays. You can join a Bible study somewhere else. You can study it using a Right Now Media account. There's a bunch of different ways that you can study the Word, but you should study it. Live the Word. Don't just underline verses in your Bible. Let them underline your life. Live the Word. And then, of course, share it. Share it with others. Right? There are people in this world, there are people in our community that don't know Jesus. Share it with them. Share the word with them. So being rooted in God's word is not optimal for the Christian life. It's essential. It is essential that we are rooted in his word. You know, if we try to build our life without allowing the scripture to be rooted, deeply rooted into our lives, that's like building a bookshelf without instructions, right? We need the instruction, the instruction manual of life, whatever you want to call it, we need it. We absolutely, positively need it in our life. You know, there will be storms in our life. We'll have disappointments, we'll have frustrations, we'll be hurt, we will hurt others. Everything that we do in life can be found in here. And everything points to who? Points to Jesus, right? So continue to read the word. You know, if we, I think most everybody in here has one of these things, right? The average person looks at their phone 144 times a day. That's a lot. That is a lot of time. That might be a little bit higher for teenagers. Right? But the average person looks at their phone 144 times. And if they lose it, what happens? Man, oh, my life is over. You know, they start going into convulsions. Maybe get in a fetal position and start sobbing. My goal is to have everybody think the same way about this. Look at this 144 times a day. Be sad when you can't find your Bible. And what's cool is more than any other, you know, time in history, we have so much access to the Word of God. Online, printed, apps on your phone. There's so many different ways that we could read and study the Bible. You know, the Bible, as everybody probably knows, is like the best-selling book of all time, right? And according to a recent study, almost every single Christian has at least one Bible. Only 20% of those Christians read it every day. That's sad. They clearly don't know, in my opinion, how profitable this is for their life. How critical it is to really dig in to the Word. So the question really isn't whether God's Word is powerful enough to transform your life. The question is will you give it the chance to do so? And my prayer is that you will. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for speaking to us through your word. Help us not only to hear it, Father, but to live it out in our daily lives. Lord, strengthen our faith. Guide our steps. And let Jesus be our foundation. Lord, may our roots grow deep this week. Allow them to bear fruit that glorifies you in everything we do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.